You have to wonder, is the Skinwalker Ranch haunted, as some people think, or cursed? What is the phenomenon that's calling the shots there? What is the intelligence behind the activities that have been documented by Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton and the team is on the property now? You know, the possibilities that have been mentioned, E.T., the E.T. hypothesis. You know, I don't know if we can rule out space aliens, because really, do we know for sure how space aliens operate? This feels different, though. It feels like something else that's operating there, something old that's been there a long time. Maybe the variety of different names for it. We're going to ask our guests about that and some ideas about what comes next in the upcoming season and, you know, what worked, what didn't. And anything else that's on your mind, because we're opening up the phone lines here momentarily for Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton. We'll be right back. I don't want to lock you guys into a position, but what do you think it is? You know, crypto-terrestrial, extraterrestrial, psychic, dimensional, you know, some kind of an invisible intelligence. What is your gut, Brandon, or do you think it is even solvable?
It's a question I'm asked all the time, and to be honest, based on the data, the evidence that we continue to accumulate, I believe it's all the above. I think there is compelling evidence that what we may be seeing, it very well could be interstellar. It could be extraterrestrial. I think that there is just as much evidence also that we're seeing interdimensional or multidimensional phenomena. I believe that there's a spiritual aspect to what is happening, and consciousness studies, I think, will play a key role in our investigation in the future. But I think it's all the above. I think what we're seeing is a diversity of origins and agendas, malevolent, benevolent, and benign, all at work for whatever reason on this property. And we're continually trying to gather data and trying to better understand and document
what's like going on here. Supernatural paranormal stew, smorgasbord or something. Thomas, what's your guess, or do you even want to take one?
You know, I agree with Brandon, and you know, as we're discussing tonight, when we are talking about the cameras and having, you know, dozens of cameras deployed, it's all wonderful except for the number of times, and the reason why we say there's an intelligence to it is we have an event take place. We've been lucky that we've been able to capture some of them, but we've had just as many times where the camera facing the direction of whatever the event was that was occurring goes down immediately before it happens and then comes back up afterwards, which definitely looks like there was some type of intelligence tampering with the surveillance. And so I'm with Brandon. I think there's evidence to support all of the above.
I wonder how many times things happen in front of the cameras and the cameras just can't pick it up. They're there, but it just can't be recorded.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in season two, when we conducted the experiments with Rabbi Ariel and we saw some type of object out there behind Homestead 2, that was something that couldn't be seen with the naked eye. And we weren't even picking it up with the regular cameras. The only cameras that were picking it up, at least that I was around, was the thermographic. And so you have a point to say that there's a good chance that things are happening in front of the camera, but for whatever reason, they're not picking up.
Brandon, do you have a sense that there are other eyes on the property that maybe, you know, there's been government interest for a long time in that place? Are there people creeping around, camouflage outfits or suits or something like that? They were observing you, observing it?
Oh, I guess anything's possible. I've ceased to really make any definitive judgments or statements. I've tried to keep an open mind, but I mean, we have pretty tight security protocols maintained on the property. I do believe that there are probably agencies monitoring what is happening at the ranch. I mean, what we're seeing could very well constitute a national security threat, or at least be of great interest. If it's not, I can't imagine what else would be.
What do you,
this is unprecedented.
What do you make of the Travis Taylor idea about the asteroid impact, millions of years ago in the basin being related?
I think it's a great theory. I think you know, we're constantly trying to identify some natural prosaic cause and trying to identify what is the leading cause for, or at least explanation as to why this property in this area seems to be a center of gravity for all sorts of strange phenomena. I mean, for whatever reason, the veil, it seems to be thin between this world and other worlds or other realities or dimensions, and we're seeing, an unusual frequency activity.
You had an incident with this dead cow in season two, and then, there have been classic mutilations, which is not what happened in this case, but there have been mutilations on the ranch, around the ranch, in the basin. Thomas, you had said you have sort of an informal, you're sort of an informal portal for information coming from the community. If there was a regular mutilation somewhere in the basin, you think you'd hear about it?
Yes and no. I have heard about some others that have taken place around the basin in the recent past. But the other thing is when you start looking at the mindset of the ranchers in the area, these ranchers are kind of no-nonsense guys.
Yeah.
And it does make me wonder how many times something happens to their cattle where, it's more than they want to think about. I've grown up in a ranching family. My wife's family has been ranching their whole lives. And to be honest, I think if something happened to their cows, they would just quickly bury it and not say anything. So I do think that there are some, and yes, I do think that I would hear at least some of them. But then I think that there's some that would go unreported simply because, it goes against whether it's religious beliefs or just trying to compartmentalize it with their mind.
Well, one of the great,
George,
go ahead, Brandon.
If I might add, one thing that I think was unique about this last year was the fact that we brought Dr. Dean Taylor, who is with the Utah Department of Agriculture. In fact, he's the state veterinarian with 30 years experience onto the property. And this captured his attention and his interest. And he on camera stated, how unusual this was, to the point of ordering tests that ultimately revealed that there was no poison or radiation that would keep scavenger activity away from the cow. And I believe Dr. Dean Taylor continues to be baffled by what he saw on the ranch and the nature of what we've been able to document.
I thought one thing that you did this season that was really is going to continue to pay dividends for your research was the Junior Hicks files, the archive material from Junior Hicks's family. Now, as our audience probably knows, Junior Hicks was the go-to guy for decades for investigating UFO sightings, orbs, things of that sort. What I'm wondering is, did he, from the beginning, have an interest in paranormal stuff? A lot of those early UFO studies, they would sort of weed out any weird stuff that came along with the UFO incidents. Do you know?
Tom?
In talking with him, I think that it was something that evolved. It started with the UFOs, but then as he goes along and these reports are coming in, and I'll tell you, I was so impressed by the data that he collected and the scientific method upon which he did it, filling out the exact same forms and asking the exact same questions. And I think that the data led him into the paranormal space.
Well, that's good to hear. He was, I got to meet him a couple of times. He was terrific. He cataloged so many great cases and drove so many miles all on his own to investigate incidents and speak to the witnesses and collect all that data and drawings and things of that sort. Yeah, he was invaluable. I think you're probably going to get dividends from that for a long time to come. Let's take a couple of calls. First-time caller, Gene in Marietta, Georgia. Hi, Gene. You're on with Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton.
Yes, and I wanted to say to Brandon that I really enjoy the series. It's very entertaining, but there is no way for an expert to contact the show with suggestions on experiments and better procedures to be used. For example, It seems that Joe used very inexpensive, unreliable spectrum analyzers. He used tin can antennas instead of the calibrated broadband antennas that are available on the market. And I'd like to see that change, if at all possible. For example, with a good directional parabolic antenna, you should be able to determine exactly where these signals are coming from, as opposed to using a tin can at S-band or whatever, and getting these 90-degree patterns that you're running. I also think sometimes Curtis jumps to conclusions, and the data doesn't support that. And I would continue to argue that you might want to consider using active radar. Yes, you're using the ADS-B for aircraft identification, but I think active radar could offer you a lot.
Okay, Gene, I'll tell you what. Gene, we're going to let Brandon respond to some of that. You put a lot out there. Brandon, I imagine you get a lot of suggestions.
Good, really good comments and observations, Gene. I really appreciate that. And I know exactly what you're talking about. What you're referencing with the tin cans and trying to produce some directional results or monitoring was in our first season and those first weeks that Dr. Taylor joined with the team. If you noticed, we actually did bring a whole other level of sophistication with our spectrum analyzers and directional, directionally, you know, motivated equipment in order to really not only monitor but also track the elevated noise floor and the energy spikes that we're seeing, not only from the command center, but, you know, Dr. Taylor we ended up setting him up in his private trailer with his own monitoring station with the ability to actually move the tracking system for monitoring the signals and such that is occurring on the property. And so great observations. I think, you know, it's a learning process, and we're continuing to expand our platform and bring more sophisticated equipment to the table. But some of the more rudimentary experiments that were conducted at the beginning of season one, you know, bear in mind, you know, Dr. Taylor was starting off with kind of a baseline and a very, I think, a very rudimentary approach in some respects. And also for the public's sake, I think, was trying to illustrate different concepts that we've graduated from.
Gene also had a suggestion, Brandon, that you have some kind of a information portal where people could send.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we have a website, www.skinwalker-ranch.com, and that has been set up as our primary web portal for receiving, you know, input and also for peer review in the future. I mean, Eric Bart, our principal investigator, monitors that to a degree. But also bear in mind we're receiving probably thousands of different inquiries and comments, and the influx of just messages that we're trying to catalog and parse through, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So bear with us. This is a process.
Yeah, I can imagine. We're going east of the Rockies. James in Pennsylvania. Hi, James. You're on with Brandon and Thomas.
I just congratulate you on the program you put on. I have some suggestions. I've been in the aerospace industry for quite a number of years. I'm 84 right now, and I have worked as a UFO investigator with Stan Friedman and with J. Allen Hynek. I'm pretty well familiar with what's going on. I have some suggestions. Your cow that was fell over in the field, that is probably hit when that black object came over, the UFO. They fire an intense microwave beam at the cow. The intense microwave beam will burn the lungs and produce almost instant pneumonia, and it will die within a relatively short time. I'm a licensed radar technician, and I happen to know about that. That's part of the training we've had. The other thing is the suit that people have been burned. They've had their head burned and some other things. You should have a suit similar to a spacesuit lined with foil, copper, or tin foil, aluminum foil, and also some lead foil, and prevent the microwave radiation from hitting you, because I believe the microwave beams are not coming from the sky. They're coming from somewhere else on the ranch. And one final comment, when your plane, when your helicopter was picking up an object that appeared to be right under your craft, if that is an invisible aircraft, it could be simulated from the ground by someone feeding signals up there that are out of phase on the radar frequency and make it look like your plane, there was something right under the plane. Or there could be a camouflage plane, and the way to detect that is if you put a high-powered paint sprayer on the bottom of the plane and fire the paint, it'll coat the material that will make the plane invisible, and it'll come. I have a lot of other suggestions, but I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Yeah, that was a lot to chew on there, James. Thanks a lot.
I love it. Thanks, James. We're looking into a number of those suggestions and appreciate that input. I mean, better health and safety protocols, as well as, you know, more creative approaches to understanding what is going on both above and below that ranch will be implemented. And I really appreciate your thoughtful input.
Thanks, James. Yeah, that was a great call. And clearly you've got some experience in this area. We're going to go west of the Rockies, try to get one more call in. Kim, you're on with Brandon and Thomas.
Hi, Brandon. Hi.
Hey, hello. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I was just going to tell you, you guys, you were almost there when the helicopter. You guys got to keep going higher and higher. You almost had an answer. I've never been in a plane or anything, but I would even get in that helicopter and go up higher to see the answers. Put in the song from Sammy Hagar and Van Halen. I'm flying higher and higher, you know, and you'll never know what you're going to find. That's what this is in the song. But I'm telling you, you guys got to go. There's something up there, and they don't want you to see it. They tried and trying to scare you away by putting, I don't even think there was anything under the helicopter. I think that they were making you guys believe there was something under the helicopter. And also the cows, you guys, about the mutilations, everybody keeps wondering about, what about the cows? What does cows have? They have milk. I think that they're using the cows, they need the milk for they take the eggs out of women and they're having babies up there.
I'll tell you what, Kim, we got a lot to chew on there and got about a minute to respond. So yeah. Thank you for the call.
I have to defer to our pilot. He was definitely very afraid, and safety first is always his priority. And will continue to be our priority. And we just felt like it got to the point where there was really a reason for concern and need to abort the mission. And I respect his judgment call on that. We'll continue to try to be as careful as we can while poking the hornet's nest, as Dr. Taylor states on regular occasion.
Thanks for the call, Kim. We got about 30 seconds left. Thomas, you deal with the cattle all the time. Are they there primarily to engage with whatever is there, not necessarily as bait, but to sort of attract the attention of the intelligence that's there and to see what happens?
We bring them on for two reasons. One is for the health of the ranch, to keep it from becoming a fire hazard. And then obviously, they provide a useful biosensor that can help us find
all
answers.
Right. We're talking with Brandon Fugel, the owner of Skinwalker Ranch, and Thomas Winterton, the manager of Skinwalker Ranch, guys who spent a lot of time on the property, have seen these strange phenomena with their own eyes, have been part of the experiments and investigations for the past 5+ years. And according to what Brandon told us just a little while ago, it looks like season 3 is a go, that there's going to be a lot more episodes to come. They are already mapping out plans for how to engage with the phenomena there. And our listeners tonight have a lot of suggestions of their own. A lot of folks waiting on the phones to share their ideas. We'll be right back and take as many calls as we can here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's see what's on the minds of our listeners tonight on the wildcard line. Joy in Costa Mesa. Hi, Joy. You're on with Brandon and Thomas.
Thank you very much. I have two suggestions and one question. first suggestion is, I hope you would have some remote viewers investigate the ranch and the mesa surrounding it where that lights up. Suggestion number two, get some good psychics there to check that out, because I did see a black shadow figure in the house during one of the experiments. And the last point, do we have any records or knowledge if any part of that property is any type of an ancient Native American burial ground? Thank you.
So, great suggestions, comments, and questions. I think we've demonstrated a willingness to take a very open-minded approach. I mean, we brought on Native American spiritual leaders, Rabbi Ariel Zadok, most recently also joined for the investigation, and that ended up, with some shocking results. I think I've referenced consciousness studies and really taking this more broad approach as being a signature of our investigation and my stewardship. So you can rest assured that we're going to explore, any number of approaches to the property. As it relates to the Native American aspect, we do know that there was ancient occupation. We've identified rock art, pictographs, petroglyphs on site, and, we'll continue to delve into the historical aspects of the property with reverence and respect for our neighbors and the tribes that we're interacting with.
Thanks, Joy. Appreciate that. James in Iowa. Hi, James. You're on with Brandon and Thomas from Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, I feel spoiled, George, for having you for a second night on the weekend. Fantastic. And keep up the great work. And to Mr. Fugel and Mr. Winterton, I have to praise you two both for bringing together such a great team to have a level eye at looking at something that some of the critics have called an amusement park for paranormal. Some people have called it a farce, a hoax. And despite all the critics, you guys have produced some significant results, and it raises some questions. Mr. Winterton, you specifically have eyes on the ground most often there at the ranch. You had said that in the basin there have been other unusual activities. Nearby on the Mogollon Rim, there is some government land, including a fire observation post. I happen to have an acquaintance who was stationed there, and she had reported many very unusual activities, some very scary. And she only worked there for a few months, and she said she would never go back. Have you ever heard of these stories, and have you investigated adjacent properties around the ranch?
Yes. We, as part of our investigation, we've had outreach. Matter of fact, Jim Morse has been wonderful at reaching out to the local community and interviewing the neighbors and talking. And I can say that through my family relations, we've been able to get into some doors that are otherwise reluctant to talk about these kind of things. And I have to say that many of the neighbors out there have witnessed many of the same strange activities that have been reported on the ranch. And so they do happen, and then our neighbors have been witness to it.
Yeah, it's not just on the 512 acres that Brandon owns. It's elsewhere in the Uinta Basin, especially your direct neighbors, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks for the...
I'll interject just a bit relative to the critics. I don't blame those that are critical or skeptical of these things. I speaking for both myself and Thomas Winterton on the call here, I mean, we both entered this investigation and this effort as healthy skeptics. And I would challenge those who are critical to do their due diligence, to actually closely follow our investigation and what we've revealed and what we've been communicating clearly to the public and backing up with hard data and evidence before passing judgment. I think we've tried to open a new chapter and enter a new era of disclosure and transparency. And I think most people who do their due diligence have to admit that the game has changed relative to not only the ranch, but these topics.
Well, it's true. I mean, you allow cameras to follow you around, to follow the team around. It is far different from what has happened on that property in the past and in previous investigations. We're going to go to a first-time caller, Marilyn, in Springfield, Illinois. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your program. Oh, my gosh. I've listened to it for years. I've taped it. What I want to know is, and I've also read about, I've been out west before. My father and I went all over. I wondered if a lot of this Indian lore has anything to do with this. I know that there's a lot of Indian investigations been carried out in that area. And when I first started reading about your outfit, it said that it was Indian tribes that had lived there in the past. And I wondered if they'd had a lot of paranormal investigation with them.
Thomas, you want to take that?
Yeah. So as part of our investigation, again, as Brandon said, we've taken a very, very broad approach on our investigation. And we have actually reached out to the local, the Indians here in the area, the tribe, and we've asked and interviewed them. And we definitely have to keep that in the back of our mind as we do this investigation, that some of this could be tied to the native culture and the legends that have been passed down. And so we definitely have kept that in mind, and we have an open mind when it comes towards that.
Marilyn, the ranch is surrounded by tribal lands. The Ute reservation is huge, and the name Skinwalker Ranch comes from Native American term, a legend about the property that it was cursed, and that the blanket umbrella explanation for all the strange things the tribal members had seen on these lands is a skinwalker, a shapeshifter. It's kind of a blanket explanation for a whole bunch of different things that appear in different forms. So, yeah, you are right. There is a definite Native American connection. And, there are a couple of other similar spots around the country that have not been investigated nearly as much as Skinwalker has, where there seems to be a similar kind of connection with the multiple different kinds of phenomena, not nearly as much, many as is in one spot here. But thank you for the call. West of the Rockies, Peter in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Hey, first of all, I was going to say that whole basement with the walled-in thing with the animal bones on the floor, that looked really occult, just in case anyone else didn't say it. But I would ask the guests, didn't they think that was kind of an occult thing?
Are you talking about the cement room that we cut into?
Yeah, didn't it seem like an occult activity happened there with animal bones and the like sealed into a room?
Yeah, it was definitely strange. The thing that really struck me as odd about it is when we got into the room, there's only one pipe coming into the room, and I think it was like an inch in diameter. Definitely possible for a rodent to get in there and die, but these bones seem to have been, I mean, they almost look like they've been put in a blender. And we didn't have any intact skeletal remains. If a rodent had gotten into there and died, I would have expected to see an intact skeletal remains, but that's not what we found. What we found was a pile of these bones that looked like they had been broken up, and they were only in that one spot. They weren't scattered. The rest of that room was almost spotless. No spider webs. It was just really, really clean. And that pipe that comes in was in the back of that room, and these bones were on the opposite end. So that was definitely the odd thing about that room when we got into there.
Disturbing. Very disturbing.
Thank you for that call. We're going to go to John in Monticello, Indiana.
Hey,
hello, John.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And first of all, I'd like to thank Brandon for giving all this amazing gift to see, like, the inside and what's going on. That's been awesome.
You bet.
My question was the episode with the dead cow, the disc that you could see in the sky. Is that like an isolated thing, or have you guys seen more of them during the daytime hours? Or
we've recorded, you know, on numerous occasions UFO activity above the property in broad daylight and also at nighttime. This was the only occasion where we saw the, you know, UFO activity correspond or correlate with an animal death or a reaction like that.
Wow. Thank you.
I've probably witnessed about a dozen of those in the last 2 or 3 months. So they've been pretty common.
What about cryptids? You know, there have been in the basin reports of Bigfoot-type creatures, the giant wolves. Are you finding any tracks and any kind of sightings of those kind of things in or around the ranch, Thomas?
I personally have not. We do have some team members that have.
And that's recent?
Scattered out, you know, over the past 5 years, or 5+ years that Brandon's owned the ranch.
And Brandon, I know you've reached out to the tribe and want to have a good working relationship with them. You had Larry, I think, a spiritual leader from the Utes who was on in season one. Is there a back and forth that you have with the tribe? If something strange happens on tribal lands, that you'll hear about it and they can help you decipher what happens on the ranch?
We don't have that close of a collaborative relationship right now. We've really worked to restore, you know, since my, you know, taking ownership of the property, that has been a high priority. I mean, establishing trust and building on that trust. And I have to give credit to Jim Morse, who has really been a key part of our outreach to tribal elders, you know, to the Bureau of Indian Affairs and other leaders and individuals in the area, as well as the neighbors. It's an important part of not only our stewardship, but I think, you know, making sure that outreach and that collaborative approach hopefully will help all of us better understand what is happening out there.
Thomas, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about an event that's coming up in September. I think Brandon is not officially involved in it, but you are. Do you want to make a pitch about what's coming up?
Yeah, definitely. You know, September, Vernal, which is about 20 minutes to the east of the ranch, is hosting an event called Phenomicon, a paranormal event. We're bringing in a lot of interesting and very expert speakers and experiencers, and we're excited to bring people to the basin and let them experience what's here. You know, there's been so many unexplained things happen here in the Unibasin, and it's a perfect location to hold an event like this. And so on the weekend of September 11th, it'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, going to be holding it over at the convention center there in Vernal, and definitely invite people to go on and get tickets and come join us. You're going to be participating in that as well. We're excited. We got a lot of great things planned, and it's going to be a fun time.
Well, cool. Look forward to it. I'll try to get one more call in. We've got Brendan in Austin, Texas. Hi, Brendan.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much. I'm a big fan. I hope you guys all stay safe. And I've always wondered if you guys ever wondered about bringing in an expert on remote viewing. That would be really interesting. And your show is such an awesome stepping stone to show new people this activity with a mix of science. It's a really awesome clash of the worlds. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you for following our investigation and our journey. I think remote viewing, engaging gifted, you know, intuitive people will be a likely outgrowth of our investigation and part of, you know, one of many things that we'll probably explore in the future. I think trying to make contact with and trying to better understand the nature of what we are dealing with will be a key part of our investigation moving forward.
You know, Brandon, as you watch all the news unfolding about UFOs, UAPs, the UAP task force, major media covering this stuff, it's not exactly the same as what you're dealing with. Some of it is, but is it sort of a rising tide lift all boats kind of thing, in that with official Washington and big media now giving a fair shake on these kinds of topics, that it also applies to the Skinwalker Ranch?
You bet. And we are, I believe, the most scientifically studied paranormal hotspot on the planet, and we continue to devote resources, expertise, and focus to this property that happens to be the kind of the center of gravity for these things, for whatever reason. And I think the evidence that we have been presenting to the general public is exponentially greater than any of the disclosure materials that have been capturing the mainstream media's attention. And that's not to marginalize in any way that which is coming out and is being disclosed and taken seriously. But I think if people, again, do their due diligence and pay attention to what we are doing and revealing, I think they'd be pleasantly surprised with the hard evidence and data that we're presenting to the general public, that I think will open new doors of understanding relative to the nature of our universe.
I'm sure both of you guys have thought about it to some degree, that maybe this is not solvable. Maybe it's about the journey and not a destination, that it's a learning curve and we're all along for the ride, you know. Brandon Fugel, Thomas Winterton, Skinwalker Ranch, I love the idea that you have season 3 already starting to work on it, and I hope you'll keep us in the loop, and I hope to see both of you very soon.
You're a brother, George. Thank you for being a part of our journey. We'll keep in touch.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Scott Creighton about the Great Pyramid.